WrestleMania, WrestleMania, WrestleMania. Doesn't appear that I'm streaming on YouTube. I don't know why. I don't know what the issue is there. But hey, it's Sports Geek to Wrestling. I am Kev Kelm. We are getting into it. So much to cover here. Coming out of the wrestles of manias. And we have a lot to get into, so much to cover, so much to get onto, and so much to talk about here. We have this controversial angle that AEW is pulling here with airing backstage security footage or just footage of a backstage fight. I don't know why we're not streaming on YouTube, by the way. Yeah, I don't know what the issue is there. I'm going to take a screenshot of it to send to people and say, why is this happening? And that only happened right as we go live. Gotta love it, Nick. Nick, what do you think of WrestleMania, though? That was so much to cover in one time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's a lot to cover, but it was a great event. Very entertaining. A lot happened, you know, a lot of title changes, some surprises. It was overall just very entertaining. I was happy with it. I know some people like Triple H are saying it's the greatest of all times, but you know, there's a lot of metrics to that as well. But
you just want to talk about the metrics that make it true.
Exactly.
Yeah. WWE is putting out the edict that this is the most successful WrestleMania of all time. It is the most money-making WrestleMania event of all time. 145,000 tickets sold over 2 days. That's insane.
Crazy.
And you also talk about one superstar alone in Cody Rhodes selling $1 million worth of merchandise over the WrestleMania week. 1 week, one town, $1 million, just one guy on merch. That isn't anyone else. I've double checked on that number and followed up with people. They say it is 100% legit. So when people say Cody's a boring champion, I don't know if that matters to fans. You know, I mean, they believe in him and they're riding with him. You know, so that is where we are here. And it's going to be a big thing here. People asking, am I going to go live? I've gone live. We've gone live. It's a weird situation that I think when people question this or question that, you just look at the numbers. You look at the numbers and you look at what's going on here and you look at what WWE's done with this, and people bought in and they rode into WrestleMania, and it was a hell of a time, man. It was a hell of a time to go into the situation here. Johan saying, good afternoon. Did you enjoy WrestleMania? I did. I was in the press box with Emily May. Emily May had a scene there with The Rock at the post-show press conference, which was wild. And that was not expected, but it's something fun. I had a chair thrown at me. I don't know if this is clear in any of the footage. I talked to some of you guys about it, but I didn't put out any videos about it. So we're doing the media day on Friday. I don't like making stories about myself, but it was completely outlandish and only happens in wrestling, right?
Yeah.
We're doing the media day and we line up for every superstar to get interviews with them. Okay. And each outlet gets an interview. And then sometimes every 30, 40 minutes, maybe they'll shuffle them out. Now, I had waited a significant period of time for Tommaso Ciampa, and publicity people handling it were like, wait, please don't go anywhere. And I explained who I was. So they're like, please absolutely do not go anywhere. Just sit right here and we'll take care of you. And so I sit in the position to do the interview in front of the camera. They bring on LA Knight. It was like, great. I'm ready to go. I have notes for everyone I could possibly interview that weekend. And I have my notes. I'm ready to go. I'm just making sure there's a mic check with a wireless mic. And I joke, he's ready for the bright lights of WrestleMania because he had sunglasses on. And on that line, a plastic chair gets thrown at his feet from about maybe 20, 15 feet away. So it's significant distance, by AJ Styles, who we had a match with in WrestleMania. And then they started to brawl directly in front of us and hundreds of people in the press. And I was like, oh, I thought to myself, what if I got hit by that chair? So, like, what if I got hit by that chair? So I didn't get to interview Damian Priest, but I did have a chair thrown at me when I was about to talk to him. So wild weekend here. We're going to talk about this AEW thing, though. And we'll get into everything WrestleMania. I didn't want to not talk about WrestleMania at the opening, though. AEW All In is still a controversial thing for AEW. They're still talking about it. CM Punk did the big interview last week that aired since you and I spoke, where he basically did a shoot interview with Ariel Helwani. And for over an hour plus, went into all the details that he could reveal legally about that fight and really trashed the company in one way or another, saying basically they aren't in the wrestling business. They're in something else, and went off and everybody and made some just very unflattering comments about everyone involved. And then the response was on last week's Dynamite was to have Edge come out, Adam Copeland, do a rah-rah speech, tell everyone to get along, that the company is great, that he's positive and happy, and it was rah-rah-rah. And I get the impression that he was asked to do that to rally up the fan base, right? And that makes sense. Makes sense. That one makes sense, puts him in an odd position, but makes sense, right? And then we get the word during a voiceover that definitely looks like it was added since the show was taped. So this past week's Collision was taped on Wednesday.
Right.
So that Matthew Nicholas, the evil executive characters of the Young Bucks now, are going to air footage of that backstage fight between Jungle Jack Perry and CM Punk, the fight that led to his firing from the company. And they're going to air that on tonight's Dynamite. Now, we're recording here on a Wednesday. Normally, we're on Mondays. But the reaction to this within wrestling media, wrestling personalities, has not been positive.
No.
Bischoff was against it. The boys over at Rumor and Innuendo, Robert Karpolis, a former WWE writer, said there's no net positive that can come from this. I mean, I guess you're going to get some attention from it. But at the same time, I'll say if they get attention from it and they can build from that and get to this upcoming Dynasty pay-per-view, which is not that far away, by the way, but a week and a half away.
Right.
They do FTR versus the Bucks, apparently, at that. I guess they could build on it, but I still think, is it worth it? Is it worth it?
I don't know. You know, I like to keep things that happen, you know, in-house. And I know that CM Punk is not in-house at AEW anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Is the real heat you're putting on somebody is the guy who isn't going to be there.
Yeah, but, you know, still, what happens backstage, just between the boys. That's where I stand on it, but you know, it is very interesting. I'm going to tune in. I can't wait to see what's happening, but I do understand the negative backlash to this whole thing. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, but I'm going to tune in.
Are you tuning in because of this?
I was going to tune in regardless, but I'm looking forward to this the most. Yes.
Like this is, and are they going to main event this? How are they going to use this? And my issue with it, though, is you don't have anything else in the show that's compelling, and now you're doing it.
I know. Yeah, that is the negative side of it,
right, too. I don't think a show that has all of that talent needs to do desperate things. But then at the same time, it's like, what else are they going to do? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying I defend it, but I mean, it just feels on the surface. You know what I mean? Even if I was just reading the news, it doesn't read positive, you know? Yeah,
it doesn't. No.
Yeah, I agree. Comment here. I believe it's unnecessary. Just focus on building positive things.
Yeah.
Build on storylines. Focus on the show that you have coming up in a couple of weeks. I agree. But then I'm not defending it, but I'm just trying to look at it as a little bit more than just the surface level. Like, can this actually work? You know, WWE did things like this hot lesbian action. They did that stuff. They did
that's true.
You know, they had, you know, Trump and Rosie O'Donnell avatars have a wrestling match. And like, you know, like they've done stuff like this, like outlandish things just to, you know, get attention. They did an OJ white Bronco chase at a WrestleMania. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's true. That's true.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm not, you want to do the WWE? Yes. I know you're going to call the other side. This is wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
People ask me, what am I going to give WrestleMania between night one and night two? We'll get to that here. We'll talk about that here. Another thing is, I think this is just, it's like we said, it's for ratings. This is to pop a rating. And,
I think
if,
so.
And if something like this pops a rating, they're gonna do more of it. You know what I mean? Like that's the point here is they're going to do more of it. And also, I think this decision is a complete response to what CM Punk did in a podcast. And it comes off as petty and emotional and reactionary. And is it long-term thinking, long-term progress? Tony Khan going on the record, this is designed to gain interest in Dynamite and gain interest and interest in the upcoming pay-per-view. And you just put it out there. He said that the Sports Illustrated. So I don't know. Like, what's the payoff?
That's what I'm saying. I really don't know what the long term here is. You know, it's, I don't know. It seems petty to me. Mm-hmm. that's just how I see it.
All right.
Let's
get into the fun stuff. Okay.
Let's get into the fun stuff.
WrestleMania. Two nights of WrestleMania. We're still processing it. Wild week to say the least.
Yes.
I went to a lot of different things, but maybe at some point we'll cover the Hall of Fame, because I thought the Hall of Fame was a whole thing unto itself, by the way.
Yeah, that's cool.
SmackDown was good, tied up some loose knots. I thought, you know, they did a good job, as much as it could, just stamping some things out here. And then we get to the shows themselves. Do I think it was the greatest WrestleMania of all time? People say, what do I think of it night two? Do you judge the nights separately, or do you judge it collectively as one event? I know people started to do that. By the way, we have a review of it up on the channel with Vince Russo on the YouTube channel, on the Sports Keto Wrestling YouTube channel. And you can go check that out. That's also on our podcast audio feed as well. Two different reviews. They reviewed night one and night two separately, Bill Apter and Vince Russo. Got a lot of attention for that. So thank you guys for checking that out. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Now, mind you, I attended it live. I thought the main event of night one hit any type of weakness The Rock might have in terms of a guy who has not wrestled in a very long time, who looks great, but it's one thing to look great and work great. And it hit any weakness he may have. He did everything physically he could have done.
Yeah,
I noticed there was not a lot of running for The Rock. You did not see him doing anything running-oriented. And the pace of that paid off for him. He looked and acted like a star. If anyone says The Rock does not take this seriously, you can tell he does. He was in incredible shape. Post-show press conference, he said he worked for 10 to 12 weeks to be in conditioning for this match. Yeah. And that is 100% true. And he gets the win over Cody. I knew immediately once he got pinned. I was surprised that they had Cody get pinned in the main event of night one.
Same.
I thought maybe that would be one that Seth would take. But the next night we would see why, you know, Seth was going to lose the title. We all predicted Seth would lose the title, and he did. And there were some shenanigans with that. But I enjoyed the ending of night one, building to night two. We're just going to keep it on Cody and Roman and that entire bloodline saga. Very professional for me to burp. An incredible match. Like, it's not the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. I will say that. Cody versus Roman is not the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. But the Bloodline rules had perfectly executed predictability. And I mean that in the right way. We knew we would get run-ins, and we knew we would get saves. And it was just a matter of who was going to run in, when were they going to do it, and how were they going to do it. And you had me anticipating the entire time. Jimmy Uso is fended off by Jey Uso. Solo Sikoa is fended off by John Cena, who makes a surprise appearance. And then The Rock is fended off by The Undertaker. This allows Cody to hit three, not one, three. He hit a crossroads, I believe, earlier in the match, and Roman Reigns crossroads on him, which I thought was interesting. It's also noting that I thought Cody and Roman worked a great match by themselves, and they built up the tension, and they didn't do those run-ins until 20 minutes into the match.
Yeah.
So you knew you were going to get them, but you're like, wait, there's a lot of near false finishes here. So they give you a lot of meat on the bone, and then they give you a whole another second course with that Avengers Endgame scenario where everyone's running in to save the day, and Cody gets to do it. He hits three crossroads, and he ends the long multi-year reign of Roman Reigns, and there was no roof on the link, but the roof was blown off. That is one of the loudest reactions I have ever heard. I wonder if it would be even louder if it was in an indoor facility, but there, I mean, it was absolutely fantastic, well executed, a big celebration, and I'll say a payoff. You know, that's what you got. You know, we're talking about payoffs. This may be one of the greatest payoffs I've seen in a wrestling storyline in a long time. And you got it. You paid. If you came to see it, you got to see it. Give them what's the theme song? Give them what they paid to see. Give them what they paid to see. And predictability isn't bad. You can poke holes through it. I know some people called it lip service. I think there's better matches. There was a match I felt I enjoyed more, bell to bell, than this. But in terms of storyline execution and all of the WWE things you enjoy that they do well, they did very, very well in this match. What did you think?
Yeah, it was great. I liked both, you know, night one and night two. But night two, like you said, you pointed it out, Roman and Cody held it down by themselves for a while there before anything happened. And that's why I love that they did that, you know, showed off.
They didn't just go to the run-ins right away or anything. Yeah. They let them have their time. Mind you, they had a lot of time. They probably had the most time of anyone on the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was great. You know, I did kind of expect Cena because everybody was anticipating that. They saw the trailer in the background, but not the Undertaker. I was expecting Stone Cold or somebody else. And the fact that the Undertaker came out, I mean, I jumped out of my seat at that moment. I was already, you know, in awe, you know, Cena coming out. And just
there were some people that were like, oh, they didn't have Stone Cold. So it wasn't, I was like, really? You're going to complain about that?
No, I did hear that too. You know, one of my coworkers was like, well, I would have rather had Stone Cold come out. I was like, dude, it's the Undertaker. I was like, are you kidding me? And so I was very pleased with the match. Everybody, you know, did expect Cody to win, but it still didn't feel, you know, like when it happened, I'm like, oh man, this is actually happened. Roman Reigns,
you didn't believe
Reign
it.
Is over. Yeah,
it's
crazy, and it's still, you know, hard to process through my mind. Not because I'm a Roman Reigns fan, but just because he had such a great run that it's like, wow, his reign has really come to an end. So.
And that's another part of it is this ends the run of like a very over character.
Yeah. And
reportedly, we can add this, by the way, you may not see him for a long time here. Mm-hmm. He is reportedly not on the books for WWE until August of 2024 and may not be seen until the go home SmackDown before SummerSlam.
Wow.
So you may not see him for a long, long, long time. It'll be interesting to see how they reintegrate him. During one of the post-show press conferences, Triple H teased a mind-blowing change for him coming forward. Of course, Roman Reigns responding to this on social media saying, day one, it begins yesterday. I'm more today is day one, him on the treadmill working on it. Who knows what he's going to do in the meantime. Trey Goff saying, do you see Ryback come back to WWE or new WWE now? No, I do not. I do not see the Undertaker, the Ryback coming back here. Philip Campbell saying, I love the Undertaker made an appearance at WrestleMania. I agree with you, Phil.
Yes.
I agree. I thought it was well worth it. I thought it was definitely interesting here. So overall, thumbs up WrestleMania. I thought it was a very, very good show. Other highlights of the weekend, we could go into the whole card, but I suggest you go watch the breakdown of After and Russo for the deep dive. My other highlight of the weekend was one that came together within the last month and of March, and it was something where it was another surprising title change.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn beating Gunther. Sami Zayn beating Gunther on night one was really, really, really awesome. It was another feel-good moment. I think in the eyes of the main event, those were the things that people were talking about, and we had a Money in the Bank cash-in. But for me, that was the best worked match of the weekend. In terms of just you had this Philadelphia street fight, a table didn't break. Oh, that's on them, whatever. But I mean, that was a fine match for what it was with all the guys who were in. You got a surprise of Bully Ray. It was good. You had other great matches that were done really well. You had some matches that I think underwhelmed. Jimmy and Jay, I think collectively, everyone says that they expected a lot more out of that and didn't get what they wanted. But with Sammy and Gunther, I feel they really, really over-delivered on this one. Sammy is a character who has residence in the hearts of a lot of WWE fans. Even if you don't love him, you like and appreciate him for what he's done over the years, especially last year in the entire Bloodline storyline. He got to headline a WrestleMania. This year, he gets to end the longest reigning intercontinental title reign of all time, and he gets to take out Gunther in a very emotional match. The production that WWE did, him kissing his wife, kissing his kid, Kevin Owens smacking him around, saying, go out there and do it. You can do it. You can do this right before he goes to the curtain, his longtime friend, former rival. You can do this. And he goes to the curtain, and the reaction was significantly louder than I was expecting because of those things you saw right before he went through the curtain. And he came out, and out comes Gunther, the guy who's been wrecking people for years, right?
Yep.
But they put the wife at ringside. And when they kept cutting to the wife, I was like, they're doing something here. If Gunther beats this guy and brutalizes him in front of his wife at ringside, what do you do with Sammy after that? Sammy's a guy I think could grow from that, right? He could go to the mountain one more time and get knocked down, right?
Yeah.
Be all passionate. But I love when he was getting beat up on the ropes and they cut to that wife, and she's a working wrestling wife, and she just does the cross the throat signal. And you heard the air get sucked. Everyone, ooh, because Gunther was also wrecking Sammy at this point. Sammy was not firing up. So the fact that in the middle of the depths of the beatdown, she goes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's coming. You're getting it. And he got it. And Gunther kept beating him and beating him and beating him and kept turning back to the wife. And then when he did that fire up, you felt the audience just come. There was big sections of the audience that were seated on the floor, and they came to their feet. And when he went for that, because he hit a hell of a kick earlier in the match and didn't win. So they wanted to make it clear that, like, Gunther could take the big finish. That big running big boot into the ropes, right, in the corner. Yep. So when he did the second one, you were like, he's going to do it. Oh, my God, he's going to do it. Like, you could hear people saying he's going to do it. So when he did it, it was a huge pop, perfectly executed, all the Gaga elements, everything around it. For me, that's the best match of the weekend. Best moment of the weekend is Cody pinning Roman. So yeah. Moment's going to go to Cody. Match is going to go to Sammy and Gunther for me.
It was a great match, and I'm not going to lie, it was unexpected, the outcome for me. I did not think that Sami Zayn was going to win going into WrestleMania. Now, when I saw him come out and Kevin Owens was like, go get him, I was like, okay, I think they're going to have Sami win tonight. But I thought Gunther was going to come out victorious, and I was shocked. So it was the surprise element to me as well, but they worked a hell of a match. I mean, it was bell to bell, like you said, one of the better matches of the night. I just like the fact that I didn't expect Sammy to win, even though I was kind of rooting for him, and then he came out on top. So a lot of title changes. WrestleMania overall was very pleasing to me. But I have a question for you real quick, because I did see on social media a lot of people talking after night one, saying that, you know, they were not at the event, they were not in the crowd, but they were like, oh, the Philadelphia crowd is weak, they're not loud. I've been seeing that with recent PLEs, but then get a different perspective from people who are actually there. So it was actually pretty loud, and the crowd was way into it while you were there,
for the whole weekend in general,
I mean night one, a lot of the people were
night
saying
when it was significantly colder than night two.
Yeah,
so it was colder and it was open air. Now, mind you, I was in the press box. My brother went, the guys I stayed with, they went, they said it was pretty cold. But it was just cold, and not like unnervingly cold, but like cold enough where you're like, you know what I mean? Like that's going to, for a long, long show, that's going to keep you down. So yeah, I think that's something. Also, it's open air. Yeah. You know, it's open air lends itself to a lot of different things. Did you think the audience was louder night two compared to night one?
From watching, on my television, definitely. It seemed like they were a little bit more into it, but I mean, I didn't pay attention to that. Like I
absolutely felt they were way louder night two. And mind you, it was like in the 60s. So it was like you could wear, you didn't have to bundle up. And I think you were near bundle up, but you were there, you know, like it was 40, 50 degrees, and it was a colder wind coming off the waterways nearby. So I that was part of it. I think that factors in. That factors into a show completely. Also, the production of it is astronomical, like really, really astronomical of what they put on here. And, you know, little things. I think they could have had another big giant screen to show the action to fans who don't have a clear view. Right. You do have those giant pillars at a stadium event that do affect it. I know people that went and had tickets all the way up at the top, and they had a pillar right in the middle of the screen, or right in the middle of the ring. And I do think that's just a challenge of running events at this scale where everyone gets a clear sight line of it. I wish there was a way for them to do these events without these giant pillars. Logistically, yeah. That just isn't going to happen. You know, I know why that isn't going to happen. But if there was a way to have a clear sight line of the ring, I think that you could charge more for a ticket that's way up there. And yeah. People would pay it if they knew they had a clear sight line of the ring. Those 90-degree angles where you're looking at one of those pillars, do they kind of cut off the edge of the event that you want when you're there.
Yeah.
And some people really don't know what that view is going to be like until they're in their seats at this scale, especially for you could look as much as you want on the apps before you buy the tickets and stuff like that. So I would say that. But mind you, I was in the press box and I had a cozy position, you know. Yeah. And if you go look at our Instagram and all those different like social kind of like live in the crowd type of shots, I shot a lot of those. And we had a pretty good view. And I'm thankful of SportsKita putting me out there to do that. And Emily May did a great job as well. She shot a handful of that as well. So if you just want that live perspective, we have a bunch of highlights. We have some of them up as YouTube shorts. We have a lot of them up on Instagram. I got to meet dozens, hundreds of fans. We shot some stuff for the channel. It's really, really great. Some trivia things I did with some goofy Brits. I found an entire crew of English people dressed as a Spirit Squad. All those are coming to the channel at some point in the weeks and months ahead. Also, we have interviews up, by the way, with Kevin Owens, Damian Priest, just dropped one, Tiffany Stratton. I got to spoke to NXT Women's Champion, now former NXT Women's Champion, Lyra Valkyrie, before she lost the title. That was a great conversation. So definitely go take that here. Want to get into some questions? You want to jump into these before we move ahead here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Who's going to take the belt off Rhea Ripley? Rhea Ripley defeating Becky Lynch. This was the opener, I believe, of one of the nights of WrestleMania. I thought this was a good match for the women. I don't think it was the best match for the women of the weekend. It was pretty good, but I think I really think Bayley and Io had a much, much stronger, more dynamic back-and-forth match. Io put on her working boots. Bayley had something to prove. This was really good. I enjoyed the story, though, with Rhea and Becky. It was very, very strong. And the crowd was definitely behind Rhea Ripley in this match. But who takes the belt off Rhea Ripley, if and when? Because it doesn't seem like the momentum is slowing up for her in the Judgment Day.
No, I know that they're trying to, you know, get a rivalry going here or built back up between her and Liv. But I don't see Liv Morgan taking the belt off of her. I don't know who could take the belt off of her right now. Maybe down the line, a Jade Cargill, but I know that they're on opposite brands.
Jade is the ways to go before they do that. Yeah.
Right. And yeah, she has to earn her keep and all this stuff. But I mean, right now, you know, it's not looking like many women could take the belt off of her. So mommy's on top right now. And I think she's going to stay there for a good amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to everyone who's subscribed as well to our YouTube channel. I know we're not streaming there due to the wonderful technical work of StreamYard for being all that StreamYard can be and not be that you're working with. But we'll hopefully get this up there. Go ahead and subscribe. More than 120,000 subscribers, by the way. So that is really, really great. And just did a great Paul Heyman retrospective. 35 minutes. I know you also did a breakdown of different things coming off the weekend for WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, I did a few things talking about Damian Priest becoming the new world heavyweight champ and whatnot. And Drew McIntyre and CM Punk's rivalry heating up. Mm-hmm. That is something that, you know, is I'm loving right now. He cost him a shot at the world heavyweight championship here on Monday Night Raw. Yeah,
and I was there for that, yeah. Too. I got to see that. He cut a promo afterwards. It's already floating out there. WWE put it out there themselves. That was pretty good. It was maybe just a rah-rah, thank you for the weekend type promo, but he looted. Place he's been going since he got injured where WWE has him appearing and he's cutting promos. He said it in Chicago when I saw him a few weeks ago. He's been saying it this weekend. Next time you see me in these towns, I'm going to have my boots on. I'm going to be wrestling. He's moving fairly well. You're not seeing hindered by it. And he got physical and then Drew McIntyre beat Seth Rollins in a great match, by the way. A lot of people said some of the matches were not five-star matches. I thought Seth and Drew had a very, very good match that I don't think people should sleep on, and I do think they could have another great one, and I want to see more of Seth and Rollins in the future. I think Rollins is going to go rest up here because he just came back from that knee injury and worked a hard weekend.
Yeah.
The ending, the wild stuff with Damian Priest cashing in on him was nuts. I thought it was a perfectly... Things are somewhat predictable, but fun. You know what I mean? Like that's the best way I'd put it, you know, predictable, but undeniably fun weekend. Thumbs up for WrestleMania. John, though, asking this question, do you think this, what do you guys like the setup of Raw and SmackDown with no Jumbotron? Now, this is just due to the sheer demand that WWE has had. They put out a very striking thing here, and this isn't being rah, rah, rah WWE, but it's the fact, too. And this is me following up with people I know in the live ticketing industry through different arenas that I've spoken to. I was like, how accurate are these numbers? I texted someone the other day, and they said, they're accurate. That's all I got. 17 consecutive sellouts. And I believe those are just for televised events on the road to WrestleMania. 17 consecutive sellouts across the country, one side or the other, including WrestleMania. It's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
That is a lot of seats sold. That is a lot of asses every 18 inches, as they say. And I think the demand for WWE to do that, when I went to, I put this into perspective, I was at the Wells Fargo. That's the most people I think I've ever seen in Monday Night Raw. And they even said, yeah. I don't know if they flat out said that was the biggest crowd they've ever had for Monday Night Raw, but it's up there. You know, and that likely is. A few weeks earlier, they had the biggest crowd they ever had for a Monday Night Raw in Chicago ever. They've been playing Chicago since the 80s. They've been playing Chicago since 1995 with Monday Night Raw, at least 94, right?
Yeah.
And they've done big pay-per-views there, WrestleMania there. They had more people there for a Monday Night Raw than they had for a WrestleMania when they ran WrestleMania in 2006 in Chicago. So, I mean, WWE, the demand right now is big. It's big. It's undeniably big. I think there are laps fans that are popping back in. That's what I felt from the weekend. People that have not watched wrestling in some time are coming back to it. And I think part of that, you can say, is from the accessibility to stream the past events, to catch up on things on YouTube, to catch up on clips. I think there's some people that don't need to watch Monday Night Raw and SmackDown every week to know what's going on. And you're starting to see the casual fan be, once again, the determining factor, as it is in most wrestling waves. The diehards are rolling hard with this, and that's a majority of what you see on WrestleMania weekend. But I saw a lot of families.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of guys who told me, I just got back in the last year or two. I got back in after the pandemic. I wasn't watching. I haven't watched since this. I was out of it. I watched some AEW, but I'm all excited about what they're doing with Cody and this and that storyline. And they love the Bloodline stuff, and they're back.
Yeah,
that's a little bit of the litmus test of conversations I had with people over the weekend. And you have that all despite the controversies going on outside of WWE. So do I like it? I do. It adds this kind of like Roman Coliseum vibe to it. What do you think? Does it come off differently? You watch it on television?
A little bit, just because, you know, there was a moment where it kind of backfired where they were trying to show Cody Rhodes this video and the fans and everything. And they had to bring out the small little TV for Cody to watch. And it wasn't up on the, you know, the massive Jumbotron that they normally had.
That was interesting. They brought a monitor up to the ring for him to be able to see.
So, you know, I think that that's just something that kind of backfired a little bit there. But, you know, it kind of brought some nostalgia to me. It looked like an old school setup that they used to have back in the day. But, you know, I'm going to counter a little bit on what you said, some of the fans coming back. I know that fans are coming back, but I just recently had a talk with my coworker who is fully back because, you know, the Bloodline story and The Rock. He just watched Monday Night Raw, and I talked with him, you know, yesterday. And He didn't like it. He when The Rock said he's got to go away for a little bit, he was like, well, until The Rock comes back, I'm going away for a little bit. Until Roman comes back, I'm going away for a little bit.
But isn't like, that okay. weren't there's going to be a drop off.
Oh, definitely. Like, yeah.
But I mean, like, that's isn't that a part of the WrestleMania? It's part of like, it. You know, but you know this from following the wrestling business. You and I have friends who will watch wrestling around the time of WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
And then they kind of check out. Right.
Yep. It happens every year.
So what are they going to do then?
Right.
They're going to France. We're going to go somewhere we aren't going anymore. We're going to go over to Europe.
There you go.
I got a buddy who I did WrestleMania with. He was from London. We did the Airbnb, split it with some other friends.
That's awesome.
Oh, I just talked to some business partners. We're getting some tickets for SmackDown when it's here in a couple weeks in London. Go where there's the demand then. You know what I mean? So, and I see it and I kind of see the long-term things that they're doing that are just so much more dialed in. with this WWE.
Yeah.
So I've been building to get to this. What's going on, though, with Cody and The Rock? What did you think of that opening segment that was 44 minutes? It was the entire, it was almost basically the first 40 minutes of the show. First hour is commercial free. And we understand why it's commercial free. So we can do this big, long coronation of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And then The Rock comes out. And The Rock gets told to shut the F up. And I was there. And it was a wild scene. It was certainly, they certainly opened with the main here. And we got that. I did think Raw had a great Fatal 4-Way match. Not the best Raw after WrestleMania. Fun surprise debuts by Roxanne. Ilyana Dragunov was good. It did, from the word I got, there were some matches that were cut down due to how long Rock and Cody went. But that's fine. It's Cody and The Rock.
Right.
And you had this interaction between them, and Rock is saying all these different things, and Rock is responding to people, and in the shut the F ups, and Cody feeling like an absolute certified, undeniable main event superstar that we know he is.
Mm-hmm.
But The Rock comes out and applauds him and says all these different things, and then he closes it with, "You will see me again."
Yeah.
We will see each other again, and he wanted to try on his belt. Let me try on your belt. And they did the tension moment where you know what I mean, like
yes.
And I thought that was okay. So they're gonna do a match. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna do a match at some point, which is great. You know,
yeah.
And just what I think fans want that match. They want Cody versus The Rock. I think enough people want it. But then they do the tease. They have to do the Game of Thrones. What is the thing that's making me? I'm going to put something in your hand. I don't want you to open it. And you're going to know what it is before you even open up your hand. Don't break my heart again.
Yeah.
What?
What? I know.
What? What did he put in his hand? What was it? What did he put in his hand? When is this match going to happen? Where are we going? This is a great cliffhanger with two very big characters. What's in his hand? What did he say to him? Just like they did a few weeks ago when he came out, he didn't say anything. I'm going to make you bleed. Tonight, I'm going to make you bleed. I don't need to say this in a microphone. This is just for you. I'm going to make you bleed. And like when he did that, and you found out later on that he said, I'm going to make you bleed. And then he beat him up at the end of the night, right?
Yeah.
What did he put in his hand? I've heard a bunch of theories. What did The Rock, what little heirloom of emotional explosiveness that really got under Cody's skin that he put in his hand? For Cody, who just had this great moment to fulfill his father's dream of becoming WWE champion, what did he put in his hand?
I would think it has to have something to do with his father. I don't know, but I mean, that's,
you know, just the theory I've heard.
What's the theory?
Okay. So during the post-show press conference, Triple H and him remarked about this gold watch, the gold Rolex watch that they found that was Dusty's, and they made sure to find this watch. And he got that watch. Cody himself got Rolexes made, engraved for him and Seth Rollins for doing WrestleMania. Other guys who've done WrestleMania have made a lot of money. They spent a lot of money on those Rolexes, and they want to give something nice to the guy they've done that big match with. Great stuff. I think it's one of those watches.
Yeah.
If it isn't the if it isn't the watch, if it isn't Dusty's watch, because Rock kept saying, your father's a great influence on me, and I really respect your father, and having you done something for your father. And my family's from wrestling, and they keep going back to that familiar issue, right?
Yeah.
Someone put this out there in a response in a tweet, and I kept reading it. And it was a thread of just all these different people saying, how would it work? The Rock got a hold of that watch, smashed it, that watch. And put the broken pieces in his hand. And the don't break my heart again is simple. You took this match away from me.
Yeah.
You took me and Roman at WrestleMania away from my family. You took that away from my family. And now you're going to have to pay. Even if it was your rightful choice, you're going to have to pay. And if you can dial it to long-term storytelling, and then you have the guy who says, I'm not the villain. I'm the good guy. I don't have to be here. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm getting paid to be here, getting paid tons of money to be here. I'm the Rock, right? But I need to be here. And you took this from my face. You broke my heart. You're like that's, hey, that's, I don't know. But that's
a great theory. That's a great theory.
It's the watch. I think it's the watch, which is such a special thing. You get your old watch when you're done, you're retired, you wrap something up. Right?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I'm on board with that. I could definitely see that being what he handed it to him. I'm all in on that, Kevin. That is a great theory right there.
Answer this question here for Jermaine. This is a great question.
Ooh, Jermaine says, what will happen to the bloodline now? Well, I don't know. They're in shambles. Roman's not the champ. Jimmy and Jay just had their civil war.
I don't think they're done.
Done either, though. No.
I think they need to do something to top that WrestleMania match, which it wasn't a bad match. That's the thing, to be clear. It wasn't a bad match. It just was not what you were expecting. Every other expectation was met or exceeded on a lot of other things on WrestleMania. Some less than others. Philadelphia Street Fight, you got more than you expected. The match was okay. You know, it was for a WrestleMania match, I was expecting more, but it was fun. You got Gaga. You got people going through tables. Seth and Drew, you got more than you expected. You got the cash in, right? Yeah. You got CM Punk. You know, you got more than you expected, and the match was good. The main events were good. You know, every show opened with a strong match and had some big things in the middle. I thought the 6-woman tag match was good, but I didn't, you know, some people were raving about it. I thought it was fine. It was a showcase for Jake Gargo. We knew that. It got whatever it was supposed to be. So what do you do with the bloodline now, though? That's the unexpected part. But I do think maybe there's some build to this. I do think they rally around some other later time of the year. And we get the Empire Strikes Back with them. I do think you need to cool off the bloodline and play on to other people on the show. I do think you're not done with the bloodline, but I think they kind of reassemble. And we get the Empire striking back probably by the end of the summer. And then we can start the road to WrestleMania 41 around that time. But we need some hot angles away from that. Yeah. You know, The Rock said, I'm going to go away for a while. You're not going to see me. But when you do, it's going to matter. Yeah. So there's a lot to be seen. I think you put them on pause for a little bit as a group, and you kind of let them operate individually.
I think so as well. Now I have a question for you, Kevin. You said you think that they're going to reassemble. Do you see Jay reuniting with his family and getting back in the bloodline ever? No. It's done. It's completely.
He's getting
done.
Really, really big reaction.
Oh yeah, he's babyface. Yeah, he's hot right now. I mean, the whole crowd,
the hands, like watching people do that is really compelling. I got to watch it on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. He's very over. He probably has the most over entrance right now in WWE. And in terms of when he comes out, people just react and they're with him. You know, he doesn't have to do a lot. Just this is how you eat. You know, the simplicity of what he's doing is fairly simple because it's all hardcore fans that know him. And also, he has an act that's really easy for people that are just jumping in to get into. You want that cross aisle wrestler. You want the guy that everyone that watches all the time likes, the people that just hop in, they can hop in and like him too, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't see him going back. But WWE signed some other members of the Samoan dynasty. Jacob Fatu was reportedly signed by WWE last week. I think you add new blood to the bloodline and you put him and Solo Sikoa together as two wrecking modern day Samoan monster heavyweights. They're bigger than the Usos are. I think that would be a great tag team. That's what I could see happening. But I see a new version of the blood, like a bloodline 2.0 type thing. And it allows The Rock to kind of be there, not be there. Roman is involved. Whether or not Paul Heyman is involved is interesting. Let's get into this question before we wrap up here. John Razor, who could you see Paul Heyman manage until Roman gets back? What a big weekend, though, in general for Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Emotional moment. Did you see him? He was crying. He had real tears. Real
crazy
tears for Roman losing, hugging Roman, walking out, broken down. What a worker. Working tears, working tears. His Hall of Fame speech. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I made sure to watch that one live.
Oddly, they opened the Hall of Fame with him.
Yeah. I was surprised by that. Do you think it's because he kind of wanted to be like introducing the rest of them, or you know, how he kind of
I think it was a television move.
Okay,
it was I think it was a streaming watch hour move. So that show, I watched it happen, and the way it was produced makes a little bit more sense if you pay attention to how TV is done. All right, people are watching SmackDown. This is going to air within, I think it was 9:30. So they had the whole show ready to go. 9:30 Central, SmackDown's off the air at 9. They're flipping chairs. I thought it was a unique setup. Usually they have everyone on a stage. They didn't have a stage to put the talent who watches the show. They get in their finery, their gala wear, and they seated them around the ring. And they had like an expanded area around the ring, which I like that. I thought that added a different level of formality to it. But it does make me wish these events were in theaters, like that they were in like a different event. You know, if I could only watch this on TV, I'd be okay with it. But seeing it live was very, very special. There was that was the biggest crowd they've ever had for a Hall of Fame, too, because the SmackDown was really big. And it was Philadelphia, and he started ECW there, and he did about 40 minutes. He had the longest speech on the show, rightfully so. But they had him go on first because how do you get people to watch an hour after they've already watched 2 hours of SmackDown and a half an hour break if they're watching at home? And the watch hours for the streaming services are the biggest thing. If you put him on later on in the night and it's already, you know, 10 or 11 on the East Coast, and you're asking the West Coast to hot.
It's tough.
I understand they're doing this with Raw, where the really hot angles sometimes are in the first hour of the show, and they kind of have B and C things kind of close out the show. And it makes sense. Saturday Night's main event in the 80s. They did the same thing. They would have Hogan open the show because he's coming on right after the local news. And then boom, Hulk, and you would get the main event kind of at the beginning all the time, not every time. So, and I understand why they did that. And they had Rock on. They were going to end with Rock inducting his grandmother. And Rock came out twice, by the way.
Yeah.
So the class was interesting. It was good. But Paul Heyman's speech was incredible. Who does he manage, though? Go watch his speech. He said, S my D. And then they had a preacher in Thunderbolt Patterson in there later. He made some allusions to him doing some other things in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
So I'm interested about it. If they let me go, I will pop up somewhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, boy. Yeah. AEW, want to sign me?
you can try to cancel him, but he's going to come back 10 times stronger.
Which I thought was a great, great thing there.
Yeah, you can't.
And it was a great speech. Just he was on fire, on fire. Right up there with the Undertaker. Him and the Undertaker, I think, have two of the best speeches of all time.
Yeah, I would say so.
Who could I see him managing?
Oh,
I think just like Roman, he has to go away for a while.
I think so, too. I think he's going to take a little break. Maybe, work some behind the scenes.
If he comes back with Roman, that's good. But I think we're getting a new Roman. I don't think we may not even get a babyface Roman. We may get a babyface Roman.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to come back with a vengeance. I think he's going to come back, and they're going to make him look. I don't know how you can make him look stronger, but he's going to look very strong. And I would like Paul Heyman to stay with Roman. I'm not going to lie. I think that's the angle they should work. He should just take a break. Come back with Roman Reigns.
We're jumping back to Cody and The Rock. When are they going to do that match? Do I think Cody could lose the title to The Rock? That would be wild if The Rock won the title. But you need a working champion. We did years without like a real... I mean, since 2021 when Roman signed that new deal and he went on a part-time basis, he didn't work live events. He didn't work the non-televised live event. If he did, it was very rare. It's only Madison Square Garden, and it would be in a six-man or something like that. Cody's not going to be that. Cody's going to be at every show he can be. If he's not wrestling, he's going to be at the show. Yeah. He's going to do something on the show. And it's going to be that way. And so I would say you need that. You need a champion that's on television every week. And even Roman wouldn't be on TV every week. You pushed it that far. You got as much as you could out of that Barry of having a part-time champion and making it elusive. I think you need a fighting champion. Roman was not a fighting champion. You cannot term him as that. He was not written that way. But would The Rock beat him for the title? I think it would be hard. I think it'd be really, really hard for The Rock to carry the title. So I'm more inclined to think that Cody would beat him.
Yeah.
And that fallout from that would set up Rock versus Roman.
I think it'd be a great match. The Rock pinned Cody, so it does set up this match that
this could all change, by the way. We could be really stupid and Rock beats him for the title.
That's true. I mean, I didn't expect The Rock to pin Cody at WrestleMania. I definitely was with you, thought that Seth was going to take
the loss. That's the leverage he has. Right. I pinned you at WrestleMania.
Right.
I'm the man who pinned you. I haven't wrestled in how many years, and I waltz in and I beat you, and you're better than me. You know what I mean? Like it's all there.
They have the angle. It's
they already laid it up.
They
already laid it up on Monday. Yeah, you got. Yeah, you won. You beat Roman. You know, you didn't beat me. like it was like, and he's like, that title looks good. Let me see what that title like. Yeah. I haven't seen that title in a while. Can I try that on? And like it was like they did everything here. Yeah. Everyone's still recovering. Yes, Donna. How you doing, Donna? Donna Marie Evans. How are you, sweet Donna? Yes, I'm still recovering. I'm feeling it. I thought I was coming down with something. I had a 13-hour travel day yesterday.
Yeah, crazy. That's wild, man.
Fun times.
So just layovers, or did you drive?
No, I had to fly home on two different flights with a airline whose name rhymes with Spirit.
Ah.
And I don't know why this is entertaining. We're 50 minutes into the show. So, I can't get a direct flight from Philadelphia to Chicago, which is what I wanted. And I had flight credits with them because they messed up a flight I had to Mexico in January. So I used the flight credits and it was all right. Here's what we got for you. We're going to send you, you're going to fly out of Philadelphia down to Orlando. You're going to have an hour transfer, hour layover, and then you go to Chicago. Long day. Okay. But I get it all. I use all my credits for it. Perfect. Not ideal. Budget airline. Get off the plane. And I don't have information about my next flight, which is concerning. I'm told the flight's happening, but I get off the plane to text messages that my flight has already been, was possibly delayed, not delayed yet, but possibly delayed. And I learn that I'm on one side of MCO, Orlando Airport, and I have to get to the other. I also have to go to a hotel that's in the middle of the airport and then go into another TSA line that's a half an hour, and I have an hour-long transfer. So I have an hour to get from one side, get on a tram, get off, get in a TSA line, get through that TSA line on time, then get in line. And it's a lot.
It's a lot
to do in an hour, right?
Yeah.
And as I'm getting in the TSA line, I only get the only relieving part of the day is to learn that the flight has been delayed another hour. So it's the only time I've rooted for a plane to be
right. Right.
But the unfortunate part is I was on that plane 3 hours longer than I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And so I had a long day. I think I left my hotel at 11:30 and I didn't get home until 11:30 p.m. So that was one day. Long day. So Donna loved this one. Donna's been riding with this. She said she liked Jay versus Jimmy. They did spear each other off the platform off the
Internet. That was wild. That was crazy.
And, other people will chime in here. When will it happen? When will what happen? Truly, you just give me a message there. Thank you guys for watching. We wanted to do a bigger, longer show. I couldn't be with you guys on Monday since there was so much going on there. But I really, really appreciate it. John Razor saying there's a rumor that Cody could get drafted to SmackDown. I think that would leave the Raw title without a big start. Well, they have two world champions.
Yeah.
You have two world champions. So you can do that now. You have two world champions. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting here. What do you think, though? Overall, you enjoying it? You liking it?
Yeah. I enjoyed WrestleMania. It was, I'm still kind of hung over from it, I guess, if you want to say. I'm not hung over from because I drank. I'm just saying I got the WrestleMania hangover.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yeah.
You go to this and you think, oh, I'll tie one on a couple nights. I think I only got like a buzz. I got buzz maybe once or twice.
Yeah. Because
you're just running around the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah.
I'm spending money on stadium beers and I'm not really feeling it. Before we close out here, all the ex-champs taking breaks now. Roman, Seth, Gunther. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seth going to be on the shelf for a while. Luckily, we don't need to see Gunther right away. We saw Imperium on Monday Night Raw. I think they should stay out there and be built as a tag team.
Yeah.
WWE's investing a lot of resources now into tag teams, it appears. And so maybe Gunther will come back with them at some point. And Roman doesn't look like he's going to be back until August. Yeah, you can ice some people. They have depth. WWE has a lot of depth right now. They need to play on that depth and build up other people with other equity. Liv Morgan. They really gave her a spot on where she came out of nowhere and leveled Rhea off camera. It was shot so perfectly.
Yeah.
And people asking who's the next opponent. I think it's Liv. I think Liv gets the backlash She gets the true revenge moment, which has been waiting in the wings there for a bit. She didn't get to do WrestleMania. I think she's one of the big scratches. Her, Natalya, and a handful of women were healthy scratches from this year's WrestleMania.
So yeah, she gets to have some surprise.
If they want to follow you on the things, where do they go, bud?
You can follow me on X or Twitter or Instagram with Nick_Harkson. That's NICK_HARKSEN.
Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Kev Kellum on Instagram, at Kev Kellum 6. Got to add the 6 on IG and on Twitter. X going to give it to you. I am on at Kev Kellum. You follow SK Wrestling, SK_Wrestling as well on some apps. So much content that we gave out this weekend. Like, we put out a lot of stuff because it's WrestleMania. And you film something and you think this clip of the ending of a match is going to be the biggest. Me goofing around with some guy who's dressed up like Cody Rhodes head to toe. Tens of thousands of people watched it. You got to see that?
Yes, that was hilarious.
So I just saw this guy twice in a crowd of like 72,000 people. I ran into this one guy 3 times during the weekend. Oh my God. And every time I saw him, I would just come up to him and goof around. Yeah. I did it the first night, I did it the second night, and I saw him again on Monday in a deli. He was in full Cody, Newlander, Homelander stuff. Like, yeah, he was in the full regalia.
Dedicated.
And so I was goofing around with him, and I did it. He said, I did it. I was like, I know, bud, but where's the title? And off camera, I'm shaking the camera. and then he ran back, and it was a great show. He was a good sport. Funny. Shout out to him and all the fun fans I saw. We'll be dropping all that content for you. Interviews up as well on the WrestleBinge channel with Damian Priest, Tiffany Stratton, Natalya saying she has a crush on Hiroshi Tanahashi. By the way, I'm going to be at New Japan Pro Wrestling on Friday. I'm going to be at the New Japan Pro Wrestling Windy City Riot. So I'm going to have stuff from that. Keep following us for all the different things we're doing. And remember, when watching wrestling, please do the most important thing. What is it, Nicholas? Not Nicholas from the Young Bucks, but Nicholas from Sacramento, California. What is it?
Enjoy wrestling.
Damn right.